comes back on, it starts really recording.
And you might be better.
Thank you, Chair. And thanks to my colleagues also for agreeing to let me go as my planning time. You know, last year we saw the unfortunate situation where the lot of distribution agencies weren't appointed, 5-6 months elapsed before new ones could be appointed. There was great confusion, money couldn't be paid out because of that factor. The accountants also fell away, which is not because the distribution agencies had to appoint the accountants, and their mandate fell away at the end of March, so the new ones couldn't be appointed because there were no distribution agencies. Charities were waiting for funds. Many of them had funds approved, but they couldn't access them. Now, the point was, as we've discovered from discussion, that to see the National Lottery Board, there's no statutory obligation to finance through finalized improvements and payments within set time frames. So the bill tries to, we try to address basically three factors. The one is to ensure the continuous functioning of the distribution agency. In other words, when their term expires, the very next day, the new one must be in place to carry on the work. So that one operating term moves slowly, smoothly into the other. The second point is to improve flexibility within the distribution agencies to ensure that they have the necessary capacity to perform their task. And the third function is greater certainty in grant allocations. In other words, when you've been given a grant, it must be certain when you're going to get it and when it's paid over. Coming back to the continuity of the functioning of the agency, firstly, we specify that the agency should be constituted for a period of 5 years. That gives a longer time between changes. Secondly, it states that the new agency should assume office one day, not longer than one day after the previous agency's mandate had expired. And it also says that the calls for the nomination for the agency appointee should be issued not less than 1 year prior to the expiration date. One of the problems that they had last time, apparently, was they called for nominations too late. Agencies like National Intelligence and that, who had to do security and other checks and clearances, couldn't do their work in the short time frame, so they weren't finished in time, so they couldn't be appointed in time. So we are saying that these nominations for the year before the period expired. Okay, and then to improve flexibility, we recommend that 6 to 10 members be allowed. In other words, increase the number of members of a distribution agency.
Yes. Yeah. You propose me as a member, but I'm not as a
I therefore propose that to give the minister the flexibility and capacity, let more members be available. Let him appoint 6 to 10 members, which means if somebody dies or gets sick, there's more flexibility. Because members of the distribution agencies, it's a part-time job. Now, any busy, responsible person who's appointed to those positions has a full-time job. A part-time is difficult.
Your mic is not on.
I'm also going to work. Okay. Sorry. Is it starting yet? So, to give more capacity, allow more people to be appointed, which gives them a better ability. Because, as I mentioned, these people are very busy, but they're part-time appointees. And then it's difficult to get busy part-time people together to do this, add-on work. And then for the distribution agency, for miscellaneous purposes, we also propose an increase 4 to 10 members. Because the ad hoc distribution agencies for ad hoc miscellaneous purposes are usually appointed for shorter periods. And then, finally, when it comes to greater certainty about the approval and payment, we feel that once an applicant has been advised that their application is successful, then they should get the money within 2 months. Now, we have cases where there's a big delay, and I have, last year, for example, the Red Cross were told in, I think, end of January that they had the money, they just had to submit their financials. Then the auditors were waiting, and then the auditors were told, oh no, the auditor's contract has expired, but the new auditors couldn't be appointed because there's no distribution agency appointed. And therefore, child welfare suffered a great deal because of that. The other thing is, if there are no fixed time frames, you have cases where people apply to the lottery, you have to apply almost a year in advance for your requirements. And we were fighting last year, and sometimes even previously, because of the capacity situation, that you haven't heard of your previous year's applications, and now it's time to put in a new application. But if you've already received money, you've got to account for it. But now you don't know whether you've got the money. So how do you apply for the new lot of money when you haven't heard of the previous lot of money allocation? So it's just saying that they must pay over the fund within two months. And that also that the minister must take into account the time limit on the processing of allocations, because we feel that the measures will assist the government to avoid the highly embarrassing and regrettable situation, that we had over the last period. So that is the basis of the amendment. It's to ensure seamless appointment of the agencies, to give a little flexibility to appoint more people. And then the other thing is an amendment so that assuming a distribution agency cannot function for one or other reason, people aren't there or so, that the applications that have already been submitted could then be transferred to one of the other distribution agencies to take over in the case of the resident application. Thank you, Chair.
Just before I take preliminary responses from the committee, I just want to re-clarify the way forward in terms of how we engage the recovery procedure. We normally call the proposal to make a presentation before the committee. A need may arise, it may often arise, that we call it second time sometimes. And hope that it has not arrived because then delays the process. But also we are supposed to be in contact with other committees of parliament that could work that could get together on the proposed bill, but also relevant government partners and state agencies that are affected, could be affected by the proposed bill. So then we write to them and tell them that if we have specified ourselves that there is no indication that it's okay, because I didn't want to raise this issue, I want to raise it at the end of the meeting. The Speaker Committee is supposed to do a whole lot of things on our behalf, administrative way to make sure that there is no indication that it is accepted. My gut feeling, I suspect that some of the issues are possibly being looked at by the minister. I'm not sure. We only know if we call the relevant department before us to tell us whether we see or whether we want them to do it. So I'm not sure. So I'm raising this issue of making in the Speaker's office, because when I went through the whole list of these things, including your proposal, I did not see any seal of the Speaker's office that shows that normal administrative procedure, which includes taking that there is no constitution anywhere else in the proposed government. But anyway, because our committee has been accused of delaying the things unnecessary, I decided today that I'm not going to be very specific about those technical questions. It's actually the rule of parliament that is found. But in any case, I was just saying preliminarily that let me explain the procedure that we will follow the report, and also to show that in between now and the next time when we will see this letter, I think we're following the process today, I will be taking and verifying the administrative process that you said, and before the bill and what you can go on. I do know that you attended to the Speaker's office. I don't doubt this. What I am claiming is whether the necessary lesson of double checking to the information processes is okay. But it would not be your fault. It would be the fault of the information of the group administration office. What you have yet to be able to do. You want to say anything?
No, thank you. This is my first time to introduce something like this, and I'm a 10-year member. If there is anything, I just want to say, is there anything that I'm expected to do that I should have done, that could be for me to effectively just inform you? You know, if I need to take another topic, because of that now, is the administration out of my hands?
No, we will, in terms of the rules of parliament, we will engage with the Speaker's office to check whether the necessary administrative work that is prescribed by the rules has been applied. But we will be in continuous correspondence with the rules of parliament. If there is anything that is in short or there was an oversight of anything, we will be communicating with the Speaker. So we will keep you posted in terms of any outstanding thing or any information that we see outstanding from. But the verification processes are not yet for the continuing process. Having said that, I would like to see a preliminary remark from the committee. I'm saying this because we are not necessarily engaging with the proposal either, because there are new processes of committees in other committees with other relevant government partners, etc., that are outstanding. But I think it is fair to these members the space to raise their preliminary issues and make preliminary work plan of the process. But we work on that.
Can I make one last remark? I just want to point out, at the moment we all know there's a big fuss about appointing the new lottery. This has got nothing to do with that. This has got nothing to do with the current situation of appointing operators. This goes back to the current lack. I just wanted to clarify that because there's a bit of just to avoid the possibility, does this have anything to do with the current situation of that absolutely nothing to do with that.
No, I think you worked on it, but I was trying to try to be as holistic as possible. So for now, whether your proposal does not emanate from the Sada, it could be that the department itself has found shortcomings that you just identified as a disadvantage of the space which you see. So we need that to be clarified, not that we are saying necessarily your proposal and directly respond to what is happening in the local area.
No, thank you, Chairperson, most of the clarity and the question. But I think it has to be checked that if we were like on the second phase of engagement, would have been tempted exactly to refer that the things are first to be the S. Number two, that the weather library was to do research on everything that taking place. Because we cannot ignore the timing. You know, you might be saying something honestly, but the timing may raise the issue. You know, the intention is to strengthen exactly which we believe is a set of objectives. That you say, if there are loopholes in the act, let them be tightened. And the first is the most appropriate step to take, which does not in any way affect. The third is there is meant to improve, as well as to check on the oversight, whether it's on your side or on the side. So I just wanted to endorse that there is a need for us, for instance, to get more information from the relevant department, as well as there have been many pronouncements, which, of course, we don't fit in this comment, so that we are, but guided by your direction, as we have earlier. Thank you.
Before I take this month, I want to tie up briefly the proposal by the staff and the shipping. It's making sense already, but I want to formalize together with it. I think we can safely say abstract. We need the copy of the X next time, and we need more information from the department. So I want this to be recorded, or especially in relation to as to whether, in view of the fact that they are being a reviewer, we will be informing them of the proposal before us, whether they are if there's an intentional or a possibility of a crossover in terms of a proposal in the process, their current process of review. So I just wanted to tie up with your permission of this now.
Thank you. I've been covered by the previous speaker, and I would say that under these very unusual circumstances, they're not our usual procedural ones, if we go along with your suggestion and specifically the previous suggestion, and there's nothing much we can do at this moment, at this level, until we have all the necessary documentation. And I think we should not go much further with it.
The rules of parliament put the owner on the shoulders of the proposing members of parliament to bring forth information. So whereas we are still going to write to the department, we also task the rules commander to do this, to bring also on the more information before the commission. Also on your own, you will have to go and check for the department. So we will suggest that we want to do a bit of research to prepare yourself. We don't know the extent of the questions we put before you, but we will also have to give them as more information. You know, I like it when members of parliament, for instance, say that there is no financial issue. They always say that, but it's too risky. Any legislative implementation has for financial implementation. For instance, that is one area I truly want to support and review. If you say that, for instance, the number of the appointees should be increased, that has for financial implementation. But
But in your submission, you suppose that there will not be any financial benefit. So those are the issues that I would like to see. Again, the rules to go and check how up and how far are your proposals, especially the fact that you know the financial benefit. Because we are expected to perform to be very, very cautious in the financial benefit. So we normally don't just take it from members of holding that there will be no financial relations. I would open the space to you once again, Mr. Lawrence, to check if there is any better thing you would like to see before us in the committee.
No, nothing further, Chair. I take the point that the current situation might have an impact. This, as you see from the documentation, that I handed it in last year, far long before we knew anything about the current problem. So it was handed in last year, so long before the current situation. This is the beginning of the situation of March. But I take your point, as regards the department did contact me to get a copy of the proposal which I gave to them. As well, that was last year as well, it was sort of an informal chat with the committee at the time. Informal, not from the and so I did give it to the department as well.
Can I just say to you that also the part of the top administration problem was that you before us, you don't even know that the initial submitted exercise about the challenge issue. The letter we got out in our office and we in correspondence to you. But we know that the lottery problems have been coming for a long time. They just culminated by the minister making the announcement that we saw them coming for a year. So having said that, we will get the list and our office will be in communication with you about the next time. I think I can think of it that it will be next Friday. We meet on Fridays as a committee, so we normally sustain the discussion on an item until they have completed. So it is good for me to warn you that you may need to come before us at any time. And I think you already have any decision. That is one problem that we have with members of parliament that they have to put in practice submissions before the committee, otherwise our work becomes closed down. Very sad that I'm going to attend.
No, normally I sit on one of the few committees, trade and industry, generally meet every Friday. I'm used to being on Friday, except that next Friday it's not possible to look to be Friday after. I take your point. I have meetings around the school. I mean, I can be out of it. I would prefer not to, if it's possible. This will be discussed Friday, not next Friday, the week after. I would be happy, but I think not so here.
It looks like it will have to be next Friday, because the Speaker's office and Mr. Doyle are having a view that they are too slow in processing matters. They don't take it into account that often the slowness is because of the issues like inavailability of members that are proposed. So I would like to strongly suggest that you go and rearrange your mindset to give us space on the therapy. At least by next week, I'm sure it will be the last time that you are inviting me over. After that, you'll be able to be able to make it more.
Thank you. Can I just say something? I'm sorry by the patient process. No, I don't say to put some agency. I think it must be well understood by the sponsor of that this is the opportunity for the sponsor to create. Now I want to move away from the issue of the case. that whenever you present something, you always preempt what people might come up against what you are presenting. This allows you that to do more research in terms of motivating everyone. And the answer the sort of better place if you are a member of the concentrated industry in terms of understanding exactly the avenue as opposed to someone who is not a member of that committee. I happen to attend that committee even when the very lottery is not presented. So I'm saying there's more to it that you might ask. And so it's better place, more so as a member of that committee, to be able to preempt exactly which areas might assist us or convince us, because it is very hard to convince us to agree with you, which will have allowed. Also, I'm sure you are committing yourself to putting pressure to all relevant people between now and next week, so to make sure that the committee Mark has received all those necessary documents so that by next Friday the committee will be ready also to not a matter of our case, but to the people to the issue.
Thank you,
Dr. Lee.
On the point, Mr. Nobles, I cannot understand any more than now move over to Mr. Morgan. Mr. Morgan, you can't report the committee. I think at the moment when I was involved in the chair, my sincere apologies to Mr. Morgan. I think at the moment, Mr. Morgan, should you take the committee? Because quite some time has elapsed since then. I would very encourage you then to instruct our minds and take us quickly through the object of the proposal. Then we will engage. We are hoping to continue next.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. It is my second time here today. I do certainly agree with the benefit of, in fact, coming before the committee on more than one occasion. And I thank my honourable colleagues for that advice. In fact, I'll go to my proposal again. I was given three suggestions by the committee, and in fact, I'll include them in my discussion today. One is an example. Two is an example of regulation from the developing world country. And three, although perhaps those who copied me, I have only people still. I'm not sure the level of discussion, but still to see where which my amendment is an inclusion. It's not as that we change anything currently there, just something new. So if the chair request is that it isn't the whole book, it's already coming up, it's the relevant portion of the book. And there's nothing outside of what I have here that would be relevant, which is two chapters.
Yes, and
would
you be able to
as I said, thank you once again for providing this opportunity, the privilege to come before a committee of my peers to discuss a proposal that I am very passionate about, and that is government advertising during the election period. And I offer this proposal with faith and hope to see you have a good debate. And the previous committee showed that this is the case. I'd like to provide some background to my particular proposal. On the 29th of March 2004, just 2 weeks before the 14th of April election day, the Democratic Alliance in the Western Cape launched an inquest against the Premier of the Western Cape, the ANC and the NNP, for what it argued were several cases of abuse of taxpayers' money for electioneering purposes that involved one or more of those parties. The result is actually very interesting. The four parties, the DA included, tried to settle the matter amicably out of court just before the election was concluded. And they provided the following press statement, which I have up there. And this was a joint statement between the ANC, the NNP, the DA, and the Premier of the Western Cape. And it says, the parties remain mindful that we are a new democracy and that it's important for the future of our democracy, the political parties, to agree on what constitutes appropriate conduct during the election campaign. Therefore, we make a mutual undertaking to debate and discuss after the 2004 election in the appropriate parliamentary and legislative forum the issue of good democratic practice of political parties, especially political parties in government at all levels, and if needed, to decide upon further legislative, administrative, or other methods to address these issues. Now, I admit that this particular undertaking does pertain to the Western Cape, and I find it nevertheless take the issue up in the level of much better. I thought it's a matter of use of taxpayers' money for electioneering activity that could benefit incumbent parties was a subject that should be debated in all our legislatures. I believe in the spirit of the statement, which I have up there, following the settlement in the Western Cape, and indicated that the time was right for such a discussion. I subsequently asked several colleagues of mine in various, in all nine provincial legislatures and NPOPs to request the respective speakers, the chairpersons, to convene ad hoc committees to discuss the matter of government at the time and during the election period. I made the same request for the Honourable Speaker of the National Assembly. Motions were indeed placed on the order papers of various legislators, including the Western Cape, where there was a debate on the matter. Unfortunately, there were no actions or resolutions that followed from that particular debate. The Honourable Mashlungu Nkabinde wrote to me on 24th of May 2005, and in fact the acting speaker at the time of the NA, and said that my request for a committee of policy could not be granted. The Honourable Acting Speaker at the time argued that, quote, while the issue of advertising during election time may be important, it is however not urgent. Other courses of action obtained a hearing for this issue were subsequently suggested to me by the Acting Speaker. And it was at that stage that I decided to draft a legislative proposal for discussion in this committee, which I submitted to the Speaker on the 7th of September 2005, in accordance with Section 235 of the National Assembly. 7th of September 2005. The proposal was subsequently submitted to this. So, what provisions, if any, are in place to regulate government advertising during election time? Let me go through what's currently in existence. In the period leading up to the 1999 national and provincial elections, media expert Mr. Raymond Lowe, who was a member of the communications task group that set up the government's communications and information system, the GCIS, established election period regulations. According to the government communications handbook, cabinet decided on a possible framework to be formulated to regulate against dissemination of government information during election period in a way that is to the advantage of one political party and to the disadvantage of others. These regulations rely essentially on self-regulation by government. I believe in practice that these regulations have neither been rigorously enforced nor are they entirely desirable. While it is obvious that there are certain functions of government communication that must continue, irrespective of whether it is an election time or not, and you'll see later when I go through the actual substance, I include these as exclusions to my list. The current regulations argue that government communicators, quote, should continue exercising their responsibility to articulate, promote, and defend the policy, programs, and actions of government, end quote. I argue that this creates a grey area in the regulation that can allow for the spirit of the regulation to be undermined. It's my contention that promoting and defending the policies of government should be performed by the political party that has been running a particular department or municipality and not by the communicators of the government. And by that I mean during the actual election campaign period, from the day of an election, the day it is announced, the day the result. So outside of that, it's obvious that government communicators must defend the policies of government. The regulations, in my opinion, are not strong enough, and therefore I propose that a prohibition on government advertising be included in the Electoral Act, which already includes extensive this provision on other prohibitions under Chapter 7, and hopefully that's probably what they will come to now, relating to the running of the debt. But Chapter 7 in the current Act already deals with other prohibitions of what individuals or political parties cannot do during the election. On the 20th of September, this is a matter of interest, 2005, I wrote to the Chief Executive of the GCA, Mr. Joel Neshapendi, informing him of my submission of this legislative proposal and asking whether he would consider supporting it. Obviously, he sent a full copy of it and everything involved. I also drew his attention at the time to case of government advertising that either need benefited a particular party during the 2004 election, and hence did not conform to what I believe would guide regulation of the GCIS. He replied to my letter the next day, stating that the GCIS would be guided by the cabinet in response to my letter. So I did use that. I did inform him, and he gave me no firm view either way. Okay, so what type of advertising am I talking about? Let me be a little bit more specific. Some of the research I have here does come out of other countries. I do get some country examples later. So I'm not even implying that all of these types of advertising are pertinent to South Africa, but I do think that the broader work of my legislative proposal will include this. And include advertising containing information that specifically promotes or opposes a candidate or political party. Advertising specifically targeted to an electoral district in which an election is being conducted. Advertising specifically designed to coincide with the campaign period. Or a material increase in the normal volume of advertising, either generally or in relation to an electoral district during a campaign period. I'm then to provide some examples from
campaigns, your campaign definition of campaigns has reached the day of the announcement and here
the day
of announcement of
the date of an election is announced, which is the day the result of the election is determined. So it would effectively be let's think of...
No, to me, an active campaign is a 24 hours before the election.
That is in terms of political party campaigns. I'm not talking, I'm talking about government advertising campaigns. So, and obviously, I mean, just because maybe some people are not sure, I'm talking specifically, obviously, about advertising emanating from any sphere of government during an election period. Obviously, political advertising for any party is fair game. That's the nature of campaigns, rigorous, and we go for it. Thank you. Okay, during the 2004 national and provincial election campaign period, national departments took part in the 10 years of democracy campaign and made significant advertising. In reply to a question which I put to the Minister of Home Affairs, it emerged that the Minister and the Office of the President had invited the Minister mid-budget for the 10-year democracy celebration. Now, many members would argue, and I would agree, that celebrating 10 years of democracy is a worthy cause. I certainly agree. Two democratic parliaments following decades of apartheid is no doubt something we all applaud. However, I would argue that starting the advertising campaign during the election period provided a significant advantage to the governing party. It would have been considerable scope to celebrate 10 years of democracy after the election period. Not what happened. So, as a matter of example, in replying to a question I put to the Minister of Public Works, it was revealed that during the celebration period, the department placed an editorial in the Sunday Times newspaper supplement in which it celebrated 10 years of infrastructure development at a cost of 120,000 rand. What do I find objectionable about such an advert during the election period? I believe what is objectionable is that it should have been of the party running the department to inform the electorate of what its successes had been over the previous 5 years, in, for example, the area of infrastructure development, and not the department. Certainly, no doubt, the political party in question, during its own campaign, used its own funding to do that as well. But I would argue that the ANC campaign was these four voting modes, then the AMC minister can be running the department of public works for the last 5 years. That's but one example. Total expenditure is a matter of interest, and I'm actually not in this particular legislative proposal concerned about the issue of actual use of money. I'm just more concerned about the principle of advertising, doing of government advertising and election sharing. As a matter of interest, the department has spent 9.1 million rand in campaign, education 8.7 million. It started during the campaign period, but I don't have to ask that figure. It started in the campaign period, which, as you know, was at the 14th of April and ended on the 26th. So it straddled part of the campaign of the election period. The result of the election was on the 14th of April, and then the celebrations were on the 26th. So my argument, obviously, in this case, was that it is entirely worthy and necessary to highlight and celebrate tenders and democracy, but that it should have been done, say, for instance, outside of the actual election campaign period. Another example, and I have it on the screen, I want to ask you to bring some examples. Sure.
You know, for member of candidates, you might think this is a good thing, you might listen to the
intention. So let me just provide some extra examples, because as soon as you did ask about when you choose to ask what exactly I'm talking about. So here is an example of an advertisement which is from the Mail and Guardian, 17th of February 2006, which would have fallen in the election period for the local government election last year. This is an example of an advertisement made by national government department during the election period, which is the expanded public works program run by the Department of Public Works. The gist of this campaign, obviously, is linking with the local government election, talking about the opportunities that it has provided at the local government level. I'm going to speed up, so I don't want to take too long. Let me go through some examples then of municipalities advertising during an election period. Also happened. I've got some examples as well, made in Guardian. In many ways, I would argue that this particular advert is quite packed, but it is nevertheless, if you look at the message shows that it's delivering during the election period and the use of taxpayers' money, which has a particular message. While South Africa's economy is growing by 2.9%, the answer is growing by an exceptional 4.5%. So I'd argue that outside of an election campaign, this would be fine. During a campaign when the minds of the voters are obviously on choosing the partner, this discussion advert could support the incumbent party in a particular council. Here's another example, Mandol, changing bed for life. This is in fact a two-page advert. I've only put on the screen the first one, which deals extensively with the successes in the view of the municipality over the last period. In fact, it says 2000 to 2005, and once again, this particular advert was during the election period. Okay, what is the objective of my legislative proposal? The prohibition of government advertising is limited exception from the date on which an election is called to the date the result of the election. Provision of criminal for offences registered in this regard, the prevention of any government party from receiving an unfair advantage through the use of government advertising, there are a number of municipalities joined by different parties, the promotion of multi-party democracy. Okay, if you go through the substance of my bill, please.
So this is the
Okay, I have noticed from the text that the members received that they should have my actual full, my letter proposal to use the question in front of you. If you think essentially involves four parts, the insertion of a new section entitled Prohibition of Government Advertising under Part 5 as a general provision. Amendment to Section 97 to include the new prohibition as an offence. Section 97 of the bill is a part of the bill which already includes what an offence is. And Section 98B stipulates the penalty carried by the offence. And the short time is to be appropriately amended as one does so just to sort of explain the mechanism that I use, Chair, for this particular book, as I said, Section Part 5, which is entitled Other General Provisions, includes prohibitions. So my idea for my proposal would be to insert the new prohibition. So ideally, and I'll go through the next slide, I say what should be prohibited and with its own definition and so on. It then creates a link which currently exists in the bill. Because in the current bill, there's prohibition, then there's the offence, Section 97, and then there is the penalty. So there is no adjustment to Section 97 or 98B. By breaking the prohibition, if there is an offence, there becomes a penalty. So in substance, really, there is only one insertion, and it's the bill that seeks to then complete the loop. Okay. Part 5 creates prohibition. So my actual substance of my bill would be an insertion in front. Section 97 of the bill creates and defines what an offence is. So it would say, for instance, an offence would be a transgression of the various sections of Part 5. And then already in the bill, like Section 97 is already in the bill, there's Section 98B, which is the penalty for the various transgressions that one or parties or anyone can make during an election campaign. So what I mean by creating the next point of the is that with the prohibition, I'm inserting a new prohibition, it already feeds into what is an existing section on an offence and an existing section on what is offence. Sure. Okay. So then you go through what I said is really the substance of it. Now I'll read it. Prohibition of government advertising. This section is applicable only from the date on which an election is called, the date the result of the election is determined. That in fact wording is used in other parts of the bill. It's not unique to you, but I use the same wording. And declared in terms of section 56. For the purpose of this section, government means any department of state or administration of the national, provincial, or local sphere of government. And part 2, Roman numeral, advertising means any newspaper, book, periodical, pamphlet, poster, media release, billboard, mailing, insert, potential, and the last line and directly under the control of government. So it disseminates to the public and which is financed by and directly under the control of the government, having already defined government in the previous Roman numeral 1. Okay, this is where, Honourable Chair, I come to the exclusions that you so correctly asked about. And need to provide some background. Having looked at various other regulations and legislation by the country, it is clear that this is essential. There is no way that government can simply stop communicating. There are important things that governments have to do every single day, and it's protect your life. Of course, I'm only arguing that there's part of that advice which is not necessary during an election period. So let me read what my exception is. The government must attend all advertising except for advertising relating to community health, welfare, and safety issues, including environmental hazards, advertising relating to emergency measures, advertising relating to policies and legislation that require public comment. Because, of course, Parliament, something that we all know Parliament is supported in any election period as well. This kind of stuff that needs to happen. Factual information having clear commercial consideration, including but not limited to tourism promotion, international investment, tender processes, legal processes, recruitment, government has to hire people, obviously, and factual information on how the active government services can be. Critically important that kind of service of how a person access to pension or a disability grant is continually rolled out. There's no way to spend that people's lives to depend on that kind of thing. Okay, we've actually got the bill in front of us, don't worry about the numbering of the pages. In fact, the numbering on the lines follows consecutively. The way it's been printed is that it looks like it'll be taking pages here. That's not the case. Okay, so let's turn to page number 62. Label 62. You'll see therefore that 97 part 9 or what we call 97 is already labeled offensive, and this is what I say by using what is currently in the bill. So that currently says any person who contravenes a provision part 1 of this chapter or provision of section 107, 108, 109 is guilty of an offense. So it's already includes what is currently an offence. So I say amendment of section 97 offences include the above prohibition as an offence, the one I have just outlined for you. I haven't bothered to put the numbering in, this numbering would be important. Then penalty, as I said, is also currently in the book. Any person convicted of any offence in terms of, and it goes through is linked to various other parts of the bill, and therefore I say in my legislative proposal, penalties to stipulate under 98D that any person liable to a fine or imprisonment. I must say, Madam Chair, that I have no particular strong feelings on which of the penalties are strong. I mean, that would always be up for debate. My idea would merely to use the existing legislation.
So that's not
a 10-year
suspended
sentence. Yeah, you see the current one is, well, 98A is not even between 10 years, 98B5 is a court final. The electoral court, which would be the body that would adjudicate during the election period, would be the arbiter for such a prohibition. And the magistrate, if I'm not mistaken, I think almost every magistrate's court can become an electoral court temporarily under this act. During an election period. So I'm merely creating the link. And then the short title on the Amendment Act is called the Electoral Amendment Act, which a portability proposal. You have subsequently written to the committee has to make clear that members must refer to the proposal. Okay. Allow me then to go through, and if you ask me to expand on this last time, I have done some more work. I've included Mexico as an example as well this time. So in Canada, and let me use this opportunity to say that government advertising is controversial everywhere. In every single democracy, political parties fight during election time. It is by no means easy. Democracies that are far more established than South Africa, and I give Australia as an example, they are still fighting democracies today. So the Canada is a good example, I go through it now. I give Australia as an example to be completely transparent because it is a democracy that's long established where it's still not happening. So I try to give it to you. Then you go to from Canada. In Canada, the policy of government advertising during election time is supported by legislation. According to the Canada Elections Act, a piece of federal electoral legislation, no person shall knowingly conduct election advertising or forces to be conducted using the means of transmission of the government of Canada. And for application for purposes of this subsection, a person includes a group within the meaning of that. So they can. According to the Communications Policy of Canada, both institutions must suspend their advertising during general elections of the Government of Canada. Advertising is only permitted when an institution is required by statute or regulation to issue a public notice for legal purposes. The institution must inform the public of danger, health, and various other things. And I've taken many ideas from other people. Otherwise, advertising standing activities must be held in vain, effective the day that the Governor and Council issues a writ for a general federal election and must not renew until the day newly elected government is in office. Mexico is a very interesting example. Last year, 2006, there were parliamentary elections. I don't think they call it a parliament. They have a council of deputies and presidential elections in Mexico as well. And the election was in many ways controversial for others. But one of the successes of that campaign, and we reported it, which said it was the fairest election campaign in Mexico ever, was that one of the innovations that was made during the two presidential elections and parliamentary elections in Mexico last year was an official ban, and they used a day figure, an official ban for 40 days prior to the election, and that was supported by electoral legislation. Australia has a policy, like we do. In Australia, all campaign advertising by state government agencies will cease for a period of 2 months prior to the state election. The only advertising to exempt during the quarantine period will be publicity related to community health, safety issues, appropriate public information, and certain information care consideration. Before the 2001 general election in Australia, John Howard, at the time, agreed to an opposition request to, quote, withdraw politically sensitive government advertising during the election period, end quote. In Australia, these provisions are the end policy, and while they are largely successful in curbing government advertising during election time, the issue remains controversial. In the last two parliamentary elections in Australia, the Liberal government and Prime Minister John Howard has been heavily criticised by the opposition for increasing government advertising in the lead up to the election. This advertising in New Zealand, they have guidelines which, from my understanding, work well. They are guidelines for government advertising, which date back to 1989, which take, amongst other things, back. These guidelines recognize the public concern that government advertising should not be conducted in a manner that results in public funds being used to buy publicity for party business purposes. The owners of unlimited and government departments ensure that these guidelines are followed. It is true that many countries use regulations for government government advertising, Canada and Mexico legislation. These regulations succeed when they are adhered to by our government. But because they tend not to include penalties or transgressions, regulations can be. The Australian regulation, although more often than not adhered to, may suffer from the same problem, in my view, as the South African regulation. The Canadian regulations backed up by legislation appear in fact. So, Madam Chair, in conclusion, I believe that my legislative proposal has good intentions. The aim is to prohibit government advertising during election periods, certain, very, very important exceptions. And if implemented, or perhaps even if this proposal can simply stimulate some debate in this committee and another committee, that will even resolve for the whole Parliament, and with the GCIS and so on, then I believe my objective, whether through such legislative proposal or through any other means, because as I said before, I resorted to a legislative proposal because I felt like no one wanted to talk about my proposal in other committees or so on. And if we can simulate that, I believe that in many ways my objectives will help achieve the objectives of our goal. And let me also, in conclusion, say that I realize that looking at adverts in many ways, as individuals, we may have differing opinions on what the effects of an advert like that might be. And the degree of the effect is almost not measurable. You have to have marketable hundreds of millions of rand surveys to say, Johannesburg delivering adverts reinforces this in the mind. I accept that that is very difficult. I also accept that it might be a small enough issue that during the election period, we just say, don't do that, and let political parties with their own private fundraising campaign and say, we've done a good job here. As I said before, my proposal relates to every single government party in South Africa. Including the DA. I'm interested, and I would love for you to bring me examples as well. I would. And the IC. I actually do have an example of the IC. I'm comfortable with the show. So I'm offering this for a family chair. Thank you for the opportunity again. I hope that I have satisfied some of the things that was suggested last time in terms of linking with the Act, providing developing country examples. Providing some actual visual examples of what, in fact, I have been talking
about. Thank you, Jim. A second of this is let me go to the one day.
Okay.
There are many good things, but one place is here. So I want to thank you for your very, very well-intentioned, highly informative presentation before the committee this morning, which are also very spirited and quite passionate. It's good to know that we have members of parliament who are so passionate about the issues that we see and who are so appreciative when we set their goal on the matter. So I really congratulate you all, and I think that the committee will share my views. In fact, I'm happy that you are invited back today because I will have made such a spirited presentation to communicate what the committee did for the last time. So, this is very, very voluminous. Very involving, or quite involved. As you correctly say, this should spark a lot of discussion in the policy. In intense discussion because the issues we are raising are quite relevant and particular for an emerging democracy. So I'm actually thinking that one way or the other, today we are going to move towards a clear way forward as to what I'm going to do for this presentation. As you correctly said, it's that in 2005, so even if ever for one reason we don't conclude it here today, I think today we should start the deck of concluding or move as long as possible to concluding this proposal. Having said that, I regret that this good information you gave us about the research you conducted in other countries like Canada and Australia is not in terms of the hard copy before us, so we were intended only to give us proof. So that is the only negative thing that I regret. Having said that, I was open for comments from members of the committee, including from
Jefferson, thank you. I also take my voice for comments. Jefferson, having been one of the first party agents in 1994, from the background that I come from, where we were not sent, I want to touch on that. That as the person that is empowering, too, it still has a lot, and maybe out of this engagement, you'll get more and more. When we were taken through training, I remember when we had to face the first message making whatever and whatever. To us it was a challenge that you have to represent your country in understanding the earth. Now, I'm trying to take you back to the environment within which South Africa, electoral process and both. Geographically, that's the same. Because the objective is to draw assumptions or maybe to sexually affirm that the issue of the democracy as well as the electoral procedure have not 100% reached out to all South Africans, more so in terms of the language challenges that we are facing. The second area is our understanding of democracy. I read maybe because I don't know, I like to read the book by Elena Roosevelt, and not that I like America, but there's something that is good in empowering citizens in understanding their role politically. Now I move to the second area of empowering communities to take decisions that will improve the conditions, whether to a political party, but maybe to elect a government that is going to make sure that the interests of the needy are addressed. Now, that is from an informed position, that the intention of all the processes is to make sure that communities also within our constitution, again, that is the first area. You mentioned, going past and back, you emphasized in the point that the obligations of government is to account or to communicate in terms of our bureaucracy, the right information. I would believe that it is the right that cannot be down or compromised, which remains a challenge in terms of information. And it's good that you did raise the area that there has never been, because I was about to ask a question, whether there has to be virtue in government, where the right to be informed should be continued. If you never had, I'm linking it now to the day when Parliament, what time do you use? The last sitting of Parliament, who keeps the responsibility of ensuring, because it's political to say, between meeting within the 24 hours, there is somebody who's holding and keeping the responsibility of government. I think that's right too. And I'm just raising this to show that the gaps that might have been left we address them. Now, this brings us back to the area of interest. Who are the players? Certainly we have Home Affairs, who acts precisely where that is in terms of advocacy and the aim of the end. But primarily, I will go direct to IEC. The reason I initially said some of us have been continuously being party agents. IEC has a responsibility, and I'm raising this question with an interest that if we have IEC here, in the same spirit, you know, to take us through, in terms of their understanding, exactly, on the area of the race, how they respond. IEC has got a duty, and has got a budget, that the Parliament would make available for IEC to empower whoever and take charge of the processes as an independent body. representing our government, but ensuring that there is impartiality and fairness. I would like to hear their comments in terms of their experiences, because IEC gives their experiences in the country. We can learn a lot in terms of those gaps they have highlighted. The 40 days is a matter of days. I'm not trying to use that interpretation as a benchmark, but as a principle. That's why I said a virtue. Whether it's a 6 months, it is necessary. The point of this will come last in the session, which the person, which we believe, I believe, was not intended to say the ASP or whatever, to say any political party. But the role of the IEC in setting the rules is the code of conduct. That's why I say one would be very much interested in hearing exactly what they then have to say. You then have the last body. You mentioned the human body, DCIS. I also like to hear DCIS in terms of their, you know, some of us knew DCIS during the apartheid era, when in political terms we used to refer to it as a government propaganda machine. These are the terms we see. But to get in terms of their mandate, because these agencies of unity are intended to communicate directly to people without any politics. To communicate, people have the right to get information. And it depends on the people in terms of how they can act. And I will use an example of the rural. Always of the rural, because there's this added bias that's added to the The last one is just a comment, because I'm not trying to be noticed here. We usually confess to have a soul poor or whatever, whereas our interests are always hidden in whatever we say as human beings. I am aware, although it will come out clearly, of the fact that the person, if the ANC, that is the government, that the timing of the good thing they were supposed to do makes you suspicious. That is, because they are simply saying the very good thing you're supposed to do, just do it outside this period. But if you make it within this, you'll be interpreted as abusive. Because I would also have said, what is our definition of public money? Because the very money that is given to parties comes from the taxpayer. But that has not been seen as the intention that the money must be. To do that, that raise this issue. But I'm saying, I think these are areas. Because my last one was that, and it's not everything, but to say, it will be very much interesting, Captain, to have a debate on this issue. With all the, that's my personal opinion. Because there is more that a person will dig into. I just browse even over the pages, the chapter that they finished up. They vary from section 787. If you go through these sections, there is a lot that needs to be interpreted within the context of what we are talking about. I think that the scenario is just really difficult to figure out.
Thank you, Councillor. Any comments?
One more comment, madam. I think one of the most presentation eye-opener to most of us that we really need to, if we need to think the right way, particularly during the elections, we need to know our constitution. It is very, very important. Because some of the things we do out of ignorance, I think that we're doing the right thing, but looking at some of these sections that he has referred us to, I think one could learn a lot if one goes through them properly. And my understanding of what he said also was, he does not actually say that the party should not advertise, but they should do this. Government should not advertise, but this should be done within a certain period and not beyond the period. think we should understand it within that context.
Anything related to elections like property is an issue that warrants the attention of the House. That's why I in the general said that even if it can be discussed in the whole House. Our request, our in terms of the bills that we have considered, we have made several recommendations to these issues, and that has not come through. I think this committee should really work with the powers that be in terms of the recommendations we made to be taken seriously. The issue of the magistrate's court amendment bill, which pertains to the selling of houses of people for death, even if now it's insignificant as one. When we consider that matter, we made a proposal that that matter should be taken. We never heard from the powers that be. At one stage, we were told that we should be taken. We were told 4 days before, and then that was withdrawn again from the AC without any explanation. So I'm seconding your proposal that this issue, never mind how you will conclude it, one of the recommendations is that it should be taken. I also want to second Mr. Mishu's proposal that we bring before ourselves, Home Affairs, IEC, DS. I always say the thing GCIS, did I say it correctly? We will reconsider this thing on Friday, Mr. Morgan. Yes. You are free to come, but you will not be... Yes. No. You will participate as a member of Parliament, but you would not be... No. You will actually listen, because we don't want you to unduly influence. But any other member of Parliament is allowed to attend and to participate, just like this is the case in any other committee of Parliament. The issue is when it comes to voting. But with yourself, you are restricted because then you are not supposed to overstate your case before the committee. So I just wanted to tie this up that today's still process, the letter should go out to the government communications and information, whatever. That's any matter that I can't call. Yes. Another one must go to Human Affairs. Another one must go to ICT. And you must strongly state in those letters that we don't want junior officers.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want people who will come here and say they are going to take mandate from your superior than the success, because we only want to have one interaction with them. And sending the letter to them, you must send. I don't know if you've already sent it. You've put it to
the
superior.
I don't have anything to you guys. Okay.
When do you have your children?
So I think it should be
I think we should resend everything again with the baby Peru, they don't come here not being ready, etc. And if you can recommend that they also bring whoever is responsible for their legal drafting and who understand the proposals as they are set in terms of the proposed process, etc. So that hopefully we finally conclude the mechanism. Having said that, I would like to put my brief input to what you put before us, Mr. Morgan. As you were presenting, I was thinking about government, what is government? One fall in, it is falling in for a period of time.
and that is until the other government is voted. So for me, government does not seem to exist simply because a campaign is going on or elections. Unlike parliament, which dissolves, or a council which dissolves at a particular time, government, which brings the head of state and the cabinet and the director general government back in, cabinet is on duty during an election, during the council, during the announcement of results, etc. So it says a full test. Now, I'm just saying that to strengthen your point, that we should not expect them, the government to continue the sudden decisions because the campaign is underway for election. But maybe you are right to say that we need to regulate the environment and the extent to which certain things can happen. But I also want to underpin what I'm saying by saying that I sense that you are a true Democrat. Are you from GA? Like Mr. Leon. I'm borrowing the president another to the vote. Now, myself being a Democrat too, I believe I am, and I would put it to you, and I want you to consider that governments all over the world do have an edge which comes with government, always in terms of elections. That is inevitable. Yes, it is always the right of political parties to contain that edge that you can lose. So we agree that government will always have an edge. Second is that government continues to be governed even during the community of election campaign. So we should not want to minimize government and its role simply because it continues under. However, I agree that government actually during an election should be accountable, should be transparent, and should be regulated in the manner in which you are proposed. And I differ with you to the decision for the decree which you think the decision is. So it shows that this matter is actually very important. In the next 100 years, it might be the DA that will stop. So I'm saying, as we consider this, we must consider it that we are not doing it to harm the ANC, because there is a possibility that if the ANC will not be as a ruling party for eternity. So the issue of fairness to government, whichever party is in government. So I'm saying what should be predominant in our minds is not who is the ruling party, but it should be the principle, which should apply irrespective of who the ruling party is. So those would be my preliminary to the whole thing. And I truly hope that I will ask members to go and read. It's a lot of reading material that Mr. Morgan put before, including the examples of Canada, Australia, and what is Dora Master and sent to us today, so that we can conclude. I wonder if we should hear from cabinet. What do you think? No, we are not supposed to be influenced by them, we are current. Yes. We consider this better without them and conclude it without them, and hopefully by Friday next weekend.
Can I just say?
Yes.
Maybe what it is not as to is parliamentary law legal thing. That's to have them in terms of assisting the council members. That's why I said earlier question, there are areas that were not raised with Malik, but raised to make a point. For instance, you know, like communication takes many forms. I start thinking, you know, in my thinking, and I'm not raising anyone. Even if I don't confess to the ANC, when I take a political podium, where I check, they know that this person represents political power. But there is something that is like reading, but in the proposal. To say, and I think it centers around abuse, more than the practice itself. And I'm saying in the spirit that I believe, I understand the conference is in the spirit that we are raising it, then to use an example of government. Because even when officials do it, because we have a political process, and I think at that time, the point of contention is, if this political giant takes the floor for the time, because these officials, they get paid every day, and they must do what they have to do, despite what they have. And I'm saying these are areas that is not within the context of our the
proposal. My very last point on the funding of officials, that just for your information, everybody else, I attended a meeting in Ghana a month ago of 17 countries of the sub-Saharan countries of political parties in 57 years or so. It was ruling parties and opposition parties alike. There were issues on the table, including the issue of funding. I just wonder in my mind, to what extent is this issue conversely related to the issue of funding of political parties? Because I think it might be that to reduce the, I'm not saying any government has a right to abuse the time it is in power, the resources it is commanding on behalf of the people, etc. But I wonder if an incentive to dissuade ruling parties and everybody else from maneuvering state resources to the executive, whether the outlet and the possibility of incentivizing the reduction of the tendency does not touch any light in the issue of funding the political parties. This is a totally different related matter. But maybe one that you need the project for me today. But Mr. Morgan, once again, I will give you the last time to say whatever you want to say. And feel free to, when you see on the ACC next week, that this matter has been discussed. I'm not sure of the venue. It might be this venue or a different one. Feel free to attend if you are available to be in attendance. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I don't really have too much more to say. I think I've said a lot. But what I would like to do is to actually just thank the honourable members, particularly you, for getting to the crux of the issue. Because as I ended with, there are a couple of issues here. One, emerging democracy. What is appropriate in emerging democracy? When does it happen? When do you refuse? I think that point is critically important. Two, education is critically important as well. And three, the point of view of where I think us as individual human beings probably differ on, if we were to call it the line, of up to where and so on. And that really, only the democratic procedure could answer that, because you need a majority of individual views. I don't think that it's not the truth on that board. So I'd like to thank you for the introduction. I think the proposals are excellent. I would like to be able to speak to the speaker. And I'm going to honestly share, I think that fruitful debate on this, if you were able to achieve it, would be really, really good, because we would be able to get greater views of that line. I would debate in that debate on behalf of my own party, but I would want to present my views in truth, as I hope to do in the debate. Because that's the line in the end of the day. And the debate that you could critically raise about government being in for 5 years and so on, and then if we must regulate that last decision, we know they have to govern, but do they have to communicate? So, a lot of this is up to debate. I thank you for that. I look forward, presumably, if I'm correct,
that next week you'll spot the way forward, but it's probably likely in terms of coordination that the more detailed discussion with those relevant stakeholders would happen in the next week.
Is this, now you must rule me out in some of the terms in being uncalibrated. With September coming, I think you're possibly in the wrong party. Will you consider crossing the floor?
So to give you guys a
Do you think we should take a tea break? We are kind of like tired dependent on you. You don't even want us to go away.
What the hell is this?
That's okay. Over to you. Yours is this Afonso Gusev.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. In the interest of South Africans, young and old, we will realize that education is the backbone of the country. We need to actually ensure that this country provides quality education for our children. Now, second aim, a part aim, particular of this proposal is followed. The following amendments to the South African Schools Act 1996, Act 84 of 1996, hereafter referred to quote, the Act and quote, are proposed.
No. Yes. Can I just correct a simple and also point out this? There is no proposal that can against the question, so we apply the same procedure. I'm also being kind to you because you waited for a long time for this message to come before the committee.
Yes.
You, not as long as we did, we submitted last year, July. Yes. So, I'm just for record people saying that there is no proposal that can in the feedback. Yes, it's a process that the rules say should happen. Then it should be accompanied by a letter from the speaker, from the stamp of the speaker's office, saying that it is the speaker will provide it to the committee. Not so that it doesn't come from the staff, but the presiding office together with the staff around to apply their mind. But otherwise, every member in here, more than 200, can put a piece of this proposal to the committee. But I'm just putting it on the question so that having noted that we have decided to allow you to present the case.
Thank you. In chapter 2, section 3.5, replace quote, if a learner who is subject to compulsory attendance in terms of subsection 1 is not enrolled at or fails to attend the school, the head of department made those codes with open codes. If a lama who is subject to compulsory attendance in terms of subsection 1 is not enrolled and or fails to attend a school, the head of department must close code. We are replacing, and when I say we, I mean as member, I'm speaking as a member of parliament, I'm speaking not as a party, as you said earlier on. And must is used in order to actually give some kind of binding, you know.
Can I ask you?
Yes.
Take us through the objective.
Okay.
We normally record the content of the app if the object and if the watch. How is that?
We'll see. Okay.
So the next thing is the object.
Yeah, so I'm trying to. Okay. The object of the proposed legislation, Section 291 A of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, Act 108 of 1996, states that, quote, everyone has the right to a basic education, including adult basic education. The right to basic education is direct and immediate, unlike many of the other socioeconomic rights enshrined in the Constitution. It is unqualified by, quote, reasonable legislative measures, unquote, quote, progressive realization, or, quote, available resources, close quote. As such, the state must implement measures giving effect to the right as a matter of absolute priority. There is currently no official definition of basic education in national legislation, which makes it difficult to enforce the right. The White Paper on Education and Training states that, quote, appropriately designed education programs to the level of 1 year reception class plus 9 years of schooling would adequately define basic education for the purposes of the constitutional requirements. So, it is submitted, however, that basic education should not be defined in terms of age or the condition of a particular level of schooling alone, rather in terms of international best practice and international human rights law, in particular, General Comment Number 13 of the Committee on Economic, Cultural and Social Rights. Basic education should be defined as education that is available, accessible, acceptable, and adaptable. Accordingly, this private member state seeks to define the scope, content, and meaning of basic education within the framework of availability, accessibility, and adaptability. Furthermore, given the relatively low enrollment rate and high dropout rate in South African public schools, which means that many learners drop out of school before they are functionally literate or numerate. This private member still also seeks to make it obligatory for the state to investigate why a learner is failing to attend school. The state spends very significant amounts of money on primary on providing primary education, but it has become apparent that much of that money is not spent to best advantage because there is no benchmark against which spending priorities are determined. Is such benchmarking in terms of internationally agreed norms to play? The budget could target areas requiring additional expenditure and make significant savings in other areas.
Yeah, Chapter 10 says you recommend to relate to sorry, the procedural part, which I believe has been missing. But the second one also to share with the honorable member that you should be aware now that we'll need a lot of research information that supports the presentation is to also permit us to agree to what is required. A chairperson also is good in thinking. I think as we engage on ongoing basis, one part is the interpretation of the constitution. Around, for instance, I'm no legal person, but the one thing I've learned in the constitution that the issue of guaranteeing very fundamental rights is based on the availability of resources. The way, I think the usage of market made has got to be used carefully. But the other one, also the later stage of the engage, is the interpretation of the Schools Act in terms of its intention as well as the statistical role. There are areas that have been in the Schools Act as well as any other legislation, including policy documents that relate, for instance, to novel standards in education. That exactly emphasizes on the standards as well as the enforcement. I'm saying the role of all stakeholders in education. And once I know that a proposal will be just focused on specific areas, and I think the challenge is to allow also the sponsor to find time, maybe engage, to elaborate on specific areas, so that we do not take you to the same, you draw assumptions, which of course will be challenged in terms of the validity of what you raise. What I just highlighted, for instance, are the problems that the sponsor has highlighted, which are also not challengeable in terms of the area. But I'm saying, without putting down the intention, I think this also will give us an opportunity to refer to all legislation that has to do with the education, as well as the white paper and the last one has also just a point. And I have this advantage of coming from counseling, being fully involved in the education, in the education, including a provincial. Currently, for instance, this approach that when we come to, we must separate issues that relate to curricula and issues that relate to socio-economic conditions of the students. As I say, they have been flagged or referred to here. But I do not think that is the intention. The intention is to make sure that you are prepared to say also the situational analysis as it exists in South Africa. That, and it will take us exactly to our argument and to the challenges. For in the rural, for instance, should it be a conditional that a child would be enrolled on a probe so that the school is well resourced, and that would then mean, and I don't think that's interesting. I'm just saying these are challenges. I'm trying to trigger things that will cause the honorable member to get more research or supporting documents that will make it easier.
Thank you,
Mr. Chief.
I think I want to say, I think Mr. I just want to help to save time, Mr. Winam, just so I'm going to call you again, Mr. Mikwad. But I would like you to go and tidy up the proposal. Your objects of the legislation are too outspread. And actually, even considering the manner in which they are received. Apart from the issue that we should be raising, I'm sure you are talking about, you are saying, according to this thing, you seek to define the full content and meaning. There's no way you can define content in a law. That is a particular issue. There's no way you can define the scope, that is a regulatory issue, etc. So we want you to go and tidy up your bill and to write your objects in the form of objects of the law. They're more of a, they're written more in a, I don't want to say a kind of a, you put your thoughts to paper very well. However, you did not put them like an object of the law. It should be put. I may be of assistance. I would draw your attention to the object of the proposed legislation that is the moment has issued. I know you don't have this document. I'm willing to give you a page out of this to show you how we expect, not us, but the rules of parliament and the procedures of legal drafting. The objects of the law to be drafted. So that is quite helpful. That's why I actually asked you to, we normally go first to the object to take it. That is helpful to the committee and in line with the rules of parliament. So I would ask that you go and redraft your object and take out the issues that do not pertain to a bill or to any piece of legislation. You may use the rule book, or you may ask the legal division of the speaker's office of your own party to assist, or you may ask the committee staff to solicit legal assistance or assistance for you to extract out of your proposal the portion of the things that do not belong there, but to put also those that belong there in a particular way that is expected in terms of object of the law. I hope that by next week it should be a fairly simple thing to do. So I don't even think that because the objects are not properly put before us, I don't think we should engage further, but I read and reread this thing for the whole week, but actually the problem is the objects are not well defined. The scope is too broad and issues that do not belong to a bill are drawn into more of your political speech when you debate there. So if that, I will also be available to you as the chair of the committee. So we are looking forward to seeing you on Friday.
You are saying that I should not continue to become president.
You are coming?
Yes.
In the meantime, you can forward your office also to the department, or whatever the fact is. Let me give the department a chance. Maybe they understood the office they have an idea.
When I was invited, I was just invited to come and listen, you know, in order to sort of participate in what I can do.
Okay. But Mr. Winam, I'll give you a chance to respond. But as I said, I'm willing to help the legal draft, the speaker's office should be our team here, should be able to assist to put the object in an expected manner in terms of the rule and in terms of legal draft. There is a particular way in terms of the way a bill should be put where it is proposed before this committee. And I'm saying yours is not in line with it.
Yes.
You can take any piece of legislation, it has got in front of the object of the legislation, that would be helpful enough for you to see how normally the objects of a piece of law are outlined. It should be very specific and very brief. And they should be pertaining to law, to that particular law. Like you said, that you can't bring in content issues into a piece of legislation, etc. But I'm willing to help. But I only have Monday for you because I'm debating two things next week. So I'm searching out other places to try to plan my speeches. So if you want my help, you can get it anytime on Monday after 11 o'clock. But otherwise, the speaker's office, that our committee here, your own party, you can just tell them that we have proposed that you rewrite the office and make it them very brief and take out of them things that do not belong to the office. Over to you.
Honorable Mishnu referred to the fact that the provisioning of resources will depend on the availability of funds. I'm sure I'm not using this in mind. But here we're dealing with what the Constitution says about provision of education to the South African children. And we cannot work on assumptions that the state hasn't got money. The state has never said it doesn't have money. So the state is obliged to provide this education to the South African children. This is what the Constitution says. And therefore, we I must not be misunderstood by saying here that the state does not provide basic education. What I'm saying here, I'm saying let us redefine this concept so that we can be able to evaluate our education as to whether the executive is doing the job or not. So that if it's not doing the job properly, then we can be able to say you are not doing the job properly, the education of our children perhaps is of inferior quality. Perhaps I should refer you to the participation of our children on national science competition.
You are now for it. Let me just stop. You know what Mr. Mishnu said.
You know, you can't take that for
No. I'm cutting. I'm so both of you. Mr. Bina, so that you should not become misconstrued, like you are saying you are misconstrued, I'm proposing that you go and revamp your office and make them very clear, so that they cannot be interpreted otherwise by anyone. So ignore what Mr. Mishnu said. We are going to restart that process. Take it back. The only thing that happened today is that you made your presentation. We looked at it, listening to it and reading it. We came to a conclusion that your objects were not carefully crafted, and we sent you back to recraft them and put them before us next Friday. No debate, no discussion, and whatever took place has not taken place. It's irrelevant because it took place in the context of a submission that was not properly in terms of the objects of the lab. Now, I don't want to be misconstrued, so go and recraft your objects, make them then, take out of them what not belong in them, and then let's see them try again. I'm not sure who will be first in terms of the agenda next week, but I would ask the office to communicate very early by Tuesday. Correspondence should be out so that everybody knows who is best on the agenda, because all three of the presenters that came before the committee are, only two. One is not coming to participate. Will be coming here next week. So, Mr. Bilamo, you may still remain in our midst, but we will be discussing committee letters now in the next few weeks. And I'm sure the parliamentary media team will also give us a lot of questions.
I don't know what to do.
What are you talking about?